Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the Good Reads program with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on Radio Islam International. So in essence, I aim to share reviews of books to help you build your Islamic library and thereby improve your understanding and ultimately your life and akhirah, inshallah. So what we read and how we understand is crucial in increasing our knowledge. And when we have knowledge, there is no excuse for living our lives in any other way besides the one that we are ordained to. My focus over the next few weeks, inshallah, will be on a hadith, particularly the matn or the text of the hadith. And on the Zoomspiration slot, I will be sharing some biographical information about the scholars of hadith. So before I proceed with the actual review and discussion of this week's book, I would like you to understand some basic concepts which will actually enhance your experience with the topic of hadith and with books related to a hadith. So the Arabic word hadith literally means communication, story, or conversation. And this could be in a religious or secular context. It could be historical. It could be recent. Also, if it is used as an adjective, then it means new. So our Sharia is actually made up from two sources, which are the Qur'an-i Kareem and the noble prophetic hadith. And our fiqh stems from here. And we actually rely on these sources in all aspects of our lives, be it personal, social, political, etc. So the difference between hadith and sunnah can best be explained as follows. Hadith is the vehicle by which the sunnah is transmitted. Hadith is a transmitted report which is attributed to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his speech, actions, character, personality or nature, his tacit approvals and physical traits. Now, hadith, as we know it, comprises of two parts. This, the matn, which is the text, and the isnad, which is actually the chain of transmission. Now, when I studied ulum al-hadith, or the sciences of hadith, we extensively discussed ilm al-hadith riwayatan, which is a science primarily focusing on collection and transmission of narrations, and ilm al-hadith dirayatan, which is a science primarily focused on establishing reliability, assessment of narrators, acceptance or non-acceptance of the narration, etc. Now, by learning about these concepts that I have just outlined, you will, inshallah, broaden both your knowledge and understanding and enjoy books and discussions of a hadith in a much better light. I will, inshallah, explain more concepts and definitions in the weeks to come. But the book that we have on review for today and actually for the next few programs, inshallah, is called 100 Interesting and Motivating Stories from Sahih Bukhari. The author is Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Mustahiri, who at the time of publication was the Ustad of Hadith at Jamia Hamidiya Banwali, which is in Buruj, India. He is also the founder and principal of Jamia Zakaria in Bihar. So this book was translated into English by the late Mufti Afzal Hussain Filias Rahimahullahu, and it was actually published in March 2015. But what I really liked about the book is that it is user-friendly. By this, I mean that it is written with the lay person in mind. It actually takes a hadith from Sahih Bukhari, which, by the way, is referred to as the most authentic book after the Quran Kareem, and it presents the hadith in a simplified manner as a lesson from which people can derive benefit. I think the best way for me to explain this is by sharing an extract with you. And the extract that I'd like to share with you for this afternoon is one which the author has titled, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stands guard and the theft of shaitan. I think this is actually quite a well-known hadith, but bismillah here goes. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to stand guard over the zakat of Ramadan. The zakat of Ramadan is what we commonly call Sadaqatul Fitr. And so he was standing guard over it, and at night a person arrived and he began taking from that treasury. And so Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught him, and he began to, the thief began to plead. He said, you know what, I'm a poor person, I have small children, and we in dire need, etc. And so Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu let him go. The next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, oh Abu Huraira, what happened to your prisoner last night? And he replied, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained of his poverty and his need for his children, and because I felt so sorry for him that I let him go. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he lied to you and he will come again. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu states, I was convinced that he would come again on account of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I stood guard waiting for him. And so when he came the second night, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu captured him again and intended to take him before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the thief once again pleaded, and he kept on saying, I'm a poor person, I have small children, they die in need. And again, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu actually felt sorry for him, and once again he let him go. And so the next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again asked him, what happened to your prisoner of last night? And once again he replied that he complained about his poverty and his needs for his children, so I felt sorry for him and I let him go. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, he lied to you and he will come again tonight. And once again, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stood guard waiting for him, and again he captured him. And this time he said to him, today I will most definitely take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as this is the third time that I have caught you stealing. And each time you promised me that you will never do it again, but yet you've been continuing to do so. And so the man replied, if you let me go this time, I will teach you something that Allah Ta'ala will cause you to benefit from. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu inquired what it was, and the man replied, when you lie down on your bed at night, then recite Ayatul Kursi. And through the blessings of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint an angel to safeguard you the entire night, and shaitan will be unable to come even near to you until the morning. And so once again, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu let him go. And so the following morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him what had happened to his prisoner. And so he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught me a few words and convinced me that it would benefit me, because of which I let him go. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned him, and he said it was, he replied that it was the Ayatul Kursi, which he said I should read at night, and by which Allah will appoint an angel to stand guard over me until the morning, and thereby shaitan will not even be able to come close to me. And we should remember that the Sahaba they had actually a remarkable zeal for knowledge, and they always strove to learn as much as they could. So on hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, even though he is a liar, he has told you the truth. And he said, oh Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, do you know who your prisoner was the past 3 nights? To which Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu answered in the negative, and so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informed him that it was actually shaitan. So this hadith teaches us that the best form of protection, easy and simple, which if a person strives to follow and recites, is actually Ayatul Kursi. And by reciting it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint an angel to protect him. However, as a result of our own neglect and carelessness, we've actually deprived ourselves of it, and we fail to derive benefit from it. So, inshallah, may Allah allow us to put this into practice and benefit from this. So, another thing we learn from this hadith is that shaitan is capable of informing one of something that can be of benefit, and he can also speak the truth if he intends to. So this hadith is also seen as a proof of the nabuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also one of his miracles, that he inquired about the prisoner without Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu actually telling him anything. And a third thing that the author tells us that we can learn from this hadith is that shaitan is able to take different forms, which is an ability granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as shaitan in this incident came in the form of a human being, so one also learns that if a thief has an excuse, he may be forgiven and given a warning. And then the author points out that in addition, this hadith also enumerates the virtues of Ayatul Kursi. And it teaches us that a person can be excused up to 3 times. And it is also proven from the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khidr. So we also learn that Sadaqatul Fitr should actually be given out before the Eid night. Because in this hadith we see that it was gathered before Eid. And so that is why Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was deputed to stand guard over it. And lastly, we learn from this hadith that one can seek knowledge from a person who does not practice upon his knowledge, even though it is better to actually seek knowledge from a pious, Allah-fearing and practicing Ali. So I think that explains to you what a beautiful book this really is, how you can take the hadith and how you can actually understand it and put it into practice, inshallah. And with that, we go over onto the Zoomspiration slot, where I told you I'm so excited to introduce to you the biography of Imam Bukhari. So actually, I would like to start my story to take you a little bit back into time. And when I was about 10 years old, my parents had returned home from South Africa from an amazing Umrah trip. And in Medina, my father had befriended a local resident who was living in Taif at the time. And their friendship blossomed in a short span of time, so much so that Hamidu, as my father affectionately called him, gifted my father with a complete set of the Bukhari Hadith compilation. And each volume in that set of 9 was actually, it was a set of 9, it was leather bound and it was very heavy. But my father diligently carried it all the way home to South Africa as hand luggage. And when I saw it, I was like taken aback, and I thought to myself that one day I would inshallah master these books. But in the meantime, I thought to myself, you know what, I can just open and I can read them. I had no idea that hadith is actually such an intricate and an exacting science, and I wasn't aware what the field of a hadith really comprised of, you know, at that time as a child. But I knew that I loved those books, and I always insisted that one day when I get married, they would follow me. So alhamdulillah, today they sit in my private library, and honestly, I'm as fascinated by that set as I have always been. So Imam Bukhari was actually the person who was known as the most stringent in terms of requirements with regards to his compilation. And Al-Jami al-Sahih is one of the 6 primary sources of hadith. But what do we actually know about this remarkable author? He is Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Mughira ibn Bardiza al-Bukhari al-Jufi. His grandfather, Al-Mughira, became Muslim at the hands of Al-Yaman Al-Jufi, and so thus he is inscribed to him. And he was born after Jummah Salah on Friday, the 13th of Shawwal, 194 after Hijrah, at a place called Bukhara. He had a thin body, and he was neither tall nor short. He had lost his sight when he was a child. And one day, his mother saw Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam in a dream, and he told her, "O you, Allah has restored sight to your son because of your great amount of weeping or your great amount of supplication." And in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had restored his sight. His father was a scholar of hadith as well, but he had died whilst Bukhari was still quite young. He had an affectionate mother and an elder brother named Ahmed. He was inspired to memorize hadith when he was 10 years old. But by the age of 16, he had memorized many books of the prominent early scholars. Many traveled with his mother and his brother Ahmed to Mecca, and they went on Hajj. But after Hajj, his brother and his mother returned, but Bukhari remained in Hijaz for the next 6 years seeking hadith. And he started writing at the age of 18. I guess that's all I have time to share with you for today. But please join me again, inshallah, on the Goodreads program. Okay, we will continue with the biography of Imam Bukhari. The book 100 Stories from Sahih Bukhari is available for purchase from M.I. Nana Islamic Bookstore, which is situated at shop number 233 at the Oriental Plaza, Salzburg. You can shop online at www.minanaislamicbookstore.co.za, or you can give them a call on 011-834-2449. Thank you for your company. Please do join me again on the Good Reads program. Until then, ma'assalama fi amanillah.